It's a blessing and honor to be here today. As I say every week, one of the highlights of my week is to be with you and to talk Divrei Torah. And as we all know, in Eretz Yisrael, it's Parshas Korach, and in America, it's Parshas Shlach. And I'm going to spend most of the time speaking about Parshas Shlach. Again, such jam-packed Parshas, so much to do, every word, every letter. There's so much to darshan out. But we're going to do like we always do. We're going to ask a couple of questions and come out with that major yisod, that major foundation point that we could bring into our lives in a very real way. The Torah tells us in Parak Yud Gimel, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Lemor, Shlach Lecho Anoshim. Hashem says to Moshe, Shlach Lecho, send forth for yourself, Anoshim Biatiru et Haaretz, and you should go and you should spy out the land. Right away, Rashi tells us that why is this parsha, right after the parsha, at the end of Bahaloscha about Miriam, says Rashi, Lefi Shaloksal Iske Dibra, that what happened, Miriam was punished, Shedibra Ba'acheha, because she spoke against her brother, Urisham Halalu, and these Rishayim, these great Nesim, Ra'u v'lo lachu Musar. They saw what happened and they did not learn Musar from her. And the obvious question that everyone, again, there's so much to do in this week's parsha, but first of all, what is this Kal v'chomer? What is this drasha? How would the Nesi'im learn out from Miriam? Again, we know the sin of the Meraglim was Lashon Hara, speaking bad about Eretz Yisrael, but what happened here? These were the greatest leaders. How did it happen? How did the sin of the Meraglim, how did it happen? What was it all about? Furthermore, in this question, again, there's a lot of different sections. We could talk hours and hours, which we're not going to. But last year I actually spoke about that we know that when the Meraglim came back, they spoke about three of the fruits. They spoke about Anavim, they spoke about the grapes, and they spoke about the Rimonim, they spoke about the pomegranates, and they spoke about the Te'anim, and they spoke about the figs. So you could say that really, they're really speaking about all the Shivas Hamidim. However, there's a Mishnah Bikurim in Parak Beis that says when you go and you take the Bikurim and the first fruits of the Shivas Hamidim, and the Mishnah quotes these three Minim. So the Medrash says that to fix up the sin of the Meraglim, were with what they sinned with the Rimon, with the Anavim, and the Te'anim. And that's, it fixed it up with the Bikurim. What's that all about? Which you spoke about a little last year, we'll touch upon it a little, but what's that all about? We know that Yehoshua and Kalev were able to not get affected. And Yehoshua, Rashi tells us right away that his name was changed from Hosea to Yehoshua. Why was his name changed? So Rashi brings down, Vayikra Moshe LeHosea, says Rashi in Pasuk Tezayin, Perek Yud Gimel, that why did he change his name? Hitpael Alav, Ya Yoshiacha Me'itzas Hamaraglim. Moshe Rabbeinu davened that Yehoshua would be saved. So Moshe Rabbeinu knew something was off a little here, right in the beginning, which we'll talk about, and he davened. Now, there's a fascinating Medrash. The Medrash says, we know the Gemara tells us in Brachos and Daf Yud Gimel, that his first it was Avram, and then Hashem added a hey, Avraham. First it was Sarai, and then he added a hey, Sarah. And you're not allowed to call Avraham Avram anymore. You're not allowed to call Sarah Sarai. However, that little yud was hanging out in the sky until Yeshua came. Many, many years later, the little yud was hanging around for Yeshua. What's that medrash about? It sounds nice. It sounds cute. We learned when we were little children, we heard this medrash. And furthermore, it was Kalev the one that made the whole, he made the ruckus. He got everyone. Vayas Kalev. Rashi brings down that Kalev in Pasuk Lamed, Yigimel Lamed, Vayas Kalev Esa'am El Moshe. Last year we spoke about the Meshech Chochmah, saying that Kalev, Rashi says that what happened, that he said, oh, Ben Amram, he got everyone to hear him because he thought he was going to talk bad about him, about Moshe. And the Meshech Chochma says, El Moshe, because you're trying to, it's Hashem that can help us. And then he said, oh, wow, look at all these great things. But it was Kali that spoke out. And then where did Kali go? He went to Hebron. This is not the time to go daven in Hebron. What's that all about? And lastly, again, we have a lot of questions. Lastly, right at the end of the parasha, we read about the Nisachim. We read about the wine libations. And then we speak about the challah, the tarim of the challah. And then we have the story of the makoshesh, of the person gathering the wood, doing a malacha. All those dafyomi listeners, all the dafyomi people that, you know, the Gemara talks about, what was his sin. And then we have tzitzis. Well, you're throwing everything in. It's like, throw in the cholent. What does it have to do with meraglim? Is there a connection? Is it just in the parsha of shlach? Obviously, there's a deep connection. I wouldn't ask the question. So what's going on? So again, we have a lot of questions, a lot of yesoidis. So let's just chazer over, because again, every single one of these is his own Dvar Torah, but we're going to try to put it all together. Is first of all, the basic question of what was the sin of the meraglim? These guys were not stam yidim. These were great people. How did they mess up? What was it all about? How come the Torah says specifically grape, te'ena, the fig, and the rimon, and the pomegranate, that's what they spoke bad about Eretz Yisrael. We know that we have shivus haminim, and we know the bikurim is fixed that up. So what's that all about? Secondly, Yoshua and Kolev stepped up to the plate. Yoshua came in, and the pasuk says that he got that yud. Rashi says because Moshe realized that he needs a savior. Why did he realize something was off? And that little medrash about the yud, the little yud, we love the yud. And Kolev, what was Kolev doing? He's going off to Hebron. He's going off to Maariv HaMachpelah. What's that all about? And lastly, how are the Nisachim and the Challah and the Tzitzis, how's that interconnected with our Parsha? So, a lot of people talk about the Meraglim. This is going to be the hak of the Parsha. This is also Hak and Tisha B'Av, because we know the Gemara tells us in Tainus and Chavtes that five things happened on Shavuos B'Tammuz and five things happened on Tisha B'Av, and one, it started off with the Meraglim, and then the first and second Beis HaMikdash were destroyed, and everyone's trying to figure out what that is, what was it all about. And the Gemara says that you're going to have a Bechiah L'Doros, you're going to be crying for generations. It's very interesting, last week, because I live in Eretz Yisrael, I threw out the number 40, and I said, give me some 40s. Tell me some 40s. And one of my kids, Baruch Hashem, got it, that the Meraglim, they were punished 40, they went out for 40 days. And because of that, they were punished for 40 years. However, I saw the stipler ask, what do you mean? They spoke one day of Lashon Hara. Why have they spoke one day of Lashon Hara? What? 40. I hear the connection of 40. We've spoken about 40 before, right? At the Shabbos table, speak about 40s. Email me. Maybe you won't, but it's okay. Right? Well, what's unique about 40? What's 40 about? So, but it should have been one. Ask the stipler going. One day. Why 40? So, the great Chofetz Chaim, Rav Yisrael Meir HaKohen, Rav Shiva Radin, he lived in 1838 to 1933. In 1873, he wrote the Gevaldik Sefer Chofetz Chaim, Shmiras HaLoshon, about Lashon Hara. That was like his magnum opus, because there's no Gemara of Lashon Hara. There's Gemaras in Baba Basra, and there's Gemaras in Erechim, a couple daf here, a couple daf there, and he put it all together. And again, he wrote the Mishnah Berurah, the Gadol Hador. We know we have that little clip of just showing his face for a second. The Gadol Hador, Mamish, had all of Klal Yisrael on his shoulders. And the great Chofetz Chaim wrote this amazing Sefer. And he writes in his Sefer Chofetz Chaim, he talks about the Meraglim, because again, the whole Sefer Chofetz Chaim, Lashon Hara, Shmiras HaLashon. And a lot of Achronim talk about this idea, but it's the Chofetz Chaim really saying it out, and then Tziv also says it out very, Naftali Svi Yehuda Berlin, Rav Shiva Volozhin. And he says that the sin of the Meraglim was was that they denied Tselem Elohim. They didn't believe. Again, he goes a step that they didn't believe in themselves. They didn't think they could do it. They didn't feel that they had the ability to come in and come to Eretz Yisrael. They didn't believe in themselves. The Torah says, "Anachnu kichagavim," we're just like grasshoppers. We're nothing. But they should have believed in themselves. They should have realized that Hashem said, you're going to get this awesome land. This land's going to be awesome. It's going to be rich. I heard B'Shem Rav Salvechik, in the Shiur HaRav, Rav Shechter wrote, B'Shem Rav Salvechik, that why did Klal Yisrael, the Ramban seems to say in the beginning of this parsha, the Ramban says that it really wasn't so bad that they went in. There was a strategic plan to go in, and they had to see what was going on. You can't just go in. Even though Hashem told them to go in, still, there needed to be a Ria. Rav Salvechik said that there was a Ria seeing, just like the Gemara tells us in Kiddushin, in the second parak, that you need to see someone in order to create a marriage. You need to see it. Says the Rav that they needed to see the great land of Eretz Yisrael. They needed to see it, because you can't have a marriage with the land. You can't be married to mamish, the beautiful Eretz Yisrael, without seeing it. However, guess what? They went in seeing it the wrong way. I would just quote it from the Stipler. What happened here? Where'd it go wrong? Because they went in with a negative view. They viewed themselves that they couldn't accomplish. I heard B'Shem, they quoted B'Shem, they quote B'Shem Lubavitcher Rebbe, that the Meraglim couldn't understand that we have Nisim, we have miracles, and then we have Teva, we have nature. And they didn't understand that you could take nature and you could put a miracle into nature. That's that famous Ramban at the end of Parsha's bow. That some people think that all you have is the great miracles. But says the Ramban, it's not true. Life is a miracle. And the Meraglim got nervous, because they had everything on the silver platter. They had everything in the midbar. They had the man. They had their clothes grew with them. Everything was there. They had air conditioning and heating all in one. Everything was set. And then when they go into the land, they saw all these giants. And they saw all these things. The Medrash says that they saw a lot of funerals. So they had a right to feel that they were scared, but no, they went in with a negative view. So Refrain quotes down that they went in being negative. They viewed their eyes. Because again, you need to see something. But sometimes when you see something, you have to look deeper. You can't just see it on a superficial level. They should have realized that all these people were out for these funerals, because it's not common to have a funeral. But they looked at it as, no, there's always funerals. There's always people getting killed. They looked at it with a negative view. And says the Chofetz Chaim that they didn't understand the Tselem Elohim. They didn't realize that Hashem was giving them the strength to conquer, to accomplish. They can do it. They could accomplish. And they went in with the wrong perspective. So why 40 days equals 40 years? It wasn't just one day. They went 40 days thinking negative. I can't do it. So what about Caliph? How did Caliph and Yehoshua, first of all, why didn't Yehoshua open his mouth? So I just heard, beautiful, Rav Shlomo Rosner, during this year, that he gave him Parshat Shalach. And he said, beautiful, you know why Yehoshua couldn't open his mouth? Because what happened last week's Parshat, Parshat Baaloscha, Eldad Umedad were giving Nivuah, they were giving prophecy, that Yehoshua was going to take over in Eretz Yisrael. So if Yehoshua came and said, oh wow, look how great this land is, we got to go, it would have been like, oh, I know why you want to go into the land, you power-hungry guy. You want to just be the leader, and you want Moshe out. Actually, the Kli Yakar says that Shlach Lecha. Why Shlach Lecha? Because Moshe Rabbeinu got an extra 40 years. They were in the Midbar for 40, if they're right in Eretz Yisrael. Shlach Lecha for you, Moshe. You're going to get an extra 40 years of your life. But Yehoshua couldn't open his mouth. Why couldn't Yehoshua open his mouth? Because they would have said, oh, Yehoshua, oh, I know why you want to go in there. Look how bad this land is. I see what you're doing. But Caliph did open his mouth. How did Caliph know to open his mouth? Why did he go to Maris Machpelah? The timing's not so good. because Kalev realized that just like his avos, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, so you can say it in a lot of different ways, however you want to say it, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, our forefathers, they dealt with a lot of challenges. They had the bitachon that if Hashem says a certain thing, we do it. Right, we spoke about it in Parshas Lech Lecha so long ago. Right? With Corona, it feels like 5 million years ago. Right? But Lech Lecha, that Hashem said, you got to go. It's very hard. He had everything. He had everything set for him. Lech Lecha, you got to go. But Avram went with the bitachon, even though it was difficult. Even though there were challenges. As Rav Chaim Elezhin writes in Pirkei Avos, that when it says from Noach to Avraham, it says Avraham Avinu afterwards. Because through the challenges, Avraham Avinu became great. So Kalev realized that there's challenges ahead of him. He realized that the Meraglim, they're something off here. They're nervous. They're not. They don't feel they could do it. And Kalev said, we could do it. Let's look at our avos. Let's look at our forefathers. Let's look where we come from. We're a nation of challenges coming at us in all different directions. But Hashem has always been with us. That's what our lives are about. How Hashem is always part of our lives. Last year I spoke about the beautiful idea of why did the Meraglim specifically speak about Rimon, Te'ena, and Geffen. So we said beautiful that the Gemara says in Sanhedrin that Rimon represents the idea of mitzvos. Te'ena, a lot of fruits that come and go in different seasons. However, a te'ena is a fig, it's throughout the whole year. It's about the consistency. And geffen, we know that whenever you want to have something chashuv, whenever you're at a party, or whenever you're at a sheva brachos, or something chashuv, or a yontif, or Shabbos, you need to make the suda on geffen, on wine, because it's chashuv. It's the idea of geffen is the mindfulness. So the Meraglim said, we can't do it. We can't do these mitzvahs. Rimon, oh, I don't know whoever counts. You know, the 613, they do the seeds. Don't get the Rimon on your shirt. Stings, right? We know. Who knows if it really has 613? I don't know who in the world is counting. I don't know. We got people have some time on their hands, I guess. Right? But 613, the mitzvahs. So what's the pshat here? Because the Meraglim said, we can't do it again, like that comes time. We don't believe in ourselves. We can't accomplish, we can't do the mitzvahs. We can't have the consistency of a te'ena and a geffen, the chashivus. That putting mindfulness, focusing and saying, wow, let's do it. Yehoshua and Kalev were able to say, we could do it. We could conquer. We don't have to be afraid. So now, then the Parsha goes on. And the Parsha says that we go on to the idea of the Nesachim. So again, says the Chofetz Chaim, that the whole idea of the sin of the Meraglim, they went in with a negative view. They went in with the glass half empty. They went in saying, Anachnu kechagam, and we can't do it. They went in, according to the Netziv, they didn't want to go in. They didn't want to have challenges. Again, no one wants challenges in their life. We don't bring challenges in our life. But when challenges face us, we step up to the plate. And that's where growth, which we speak about so many times, because we all have different challenges. We all have different things that come upon us. And what happens when those challenges come at us? What do? That's what it's all about. A recent story just happened yesterday. One of my daughters, I got a bunch of them, Baruch Hashem. One of my daughters, she wasn't feeling well. So we heard that if the rule in Israel is if one person has corona, the whole school will be closed. So again, I didn't think my daughter had it at all, had the corona at all, but I did not want to take chances. I did not want to be that guy that closes the whole school and, well, death threats, get out of my community, now I can't go to work. I didn't want that. So we kept her at home. Kept her at home for a couple of days. And Baruch Hashem, she was fine. But guess what? When you're at home, obviously you're bored also, but you don't go to school. And you don't learn so much. So then she had a big math test. Baruch Hashem, she's very good at math. But when you don't learn something, it's very hard to know something if you don't learn it. If you're not taught what 3 plus 3 is, it's easy, but only if you get taught it, right? So she had like a surprise test the next day. She was trying to get people, we were trying to get her a tutor to help her, just teach her the stuff. It wasn't working. The only option was to speak to the teacher. So my wife's trying to get in touch with the teacher. She had a meeting. She was in a place that didn't have reception, obviously. And now, you're not allowed to call this teacher past 9:30. And now, it's 9:28. Baruch Hashem, my Hebrew is okay, but you know, to call the teacher, and I got nervous. But I knew I needed to help my daughter. Baruch Hashem, I didn't want to do it, but I realized there was a challenge at me. And I went, and I called. She didn't pick up. I called again. You know, that second girl, you got to pick up. She called, and I said, listen, da-da-da-da-da. My broken Hebrew, and my kid's correcting me while I'm trying to talk, you know. And Baruch Hashem, she said, okay, you know, learn the Chomer, God willing, she'll know it. But, and I felt great about it, because that was a challenge. It was a challenge. I don't speak Hebrew so well, and it's hard to speak to a, you know, to a math teacher, talk about Chomer. You know, they learn like E equals MC squared over there. They don't even know what they're doing. I'm like 7 times 3. I haven't done math in years, right? So, but Baruch Hashem, I stepped on the challenge. And the Meraglim were afraid to step up to the challenge. But Yehoshua and Kalev said, we could do it. Bitachon, go back to the Avos. Go back from where we come from. That's what it's all about. As we spoke about last week in Baal Oscha, that we need, that Ramosha Feinstein, by building our children and building our students, making them go on the flame by themselves, that's what it's all about. From generation to generation to generation, everyone has an obligation. And that's what Kalev is doing, is going back to his roots. Going from his parents, right? Why do we say in Shmona Esrei, we know that obviously you always want to have Kavana, but why the first bracha? Why it's Ma'akev, you don't have Kavana. Why? Because we go back to the Avos. That's what it's all about. So now, what's this in the Nesachim? What's the wine libations? What's the challah? And how is Tzitzis a fix-up? A fix-up of the Meraglim. What's it all about? So, different explanation, but the Nesachim, we know the water libations or the wine libations, the water on Sukkis, Gemara and Tainis, different Gemaras, the end of Sukkah, about the different wine libations and the water libations, you pour it on the Mizbeach. So that is, you take something holy from on top, and then you bring it down to earthly, you pour it on the Mizbeach. It's taking something Kaddish and making it Shamayim and Aretz. And the Meraglim, one of their problems was they didn't see the Tzelem Elokim and everything. They didn't see how everything is divine. Everything, the Ribbono Shel Olam is with them. They got nervous. And they didn't see how you could bring Kedusha into everything. Comes the Nesachim and says, we take from a high point and we bring it down. And what's Chala? Chala, we take Hamotzi Lecha Min Ha'aretz and we bring Kedusha to it. The Chida says that Mon was Hamotzi Lecha Min HaShamayim, but we take earthly and bring it to Kedusha. That was the fix-up of the Meraglim. That we're able to take spirituality and mundane and bring it all together. And although it might be challenging, life's not only just about open miracles, which they thought. I'm going to live in the Midbar forever. It's going to be awesome. I'm going to speak bad. Even though God says you're going to go into Eretz Yisrael, it's going to be hard, but it's going to be awesome. This is a chosen nation. This is a chosen land. I'm making a kedushin with you. The Re'iyah, you need to see this land and you realize how amazing it is. But they denied that. They denied it. And that's what we say. We want to bring kedusha in. Why the end about Tzitzis? So the Gemara tells us in Menachos of Lamed Ches, so we know that we have blue, the Tcheles, and we also have the white. Well, Soloveitchik said that the white represents the doing of the mitzvos, the conquering, and the blue represents blue. Again, there's different ways to understand it, but blue represents, it's unclear, it's blue. Like the time we're in now, it's unclear. We don't know what's going to be in a month from now. It's blue, but that's the Emunah. Tzitzis is Laman Tiskeru, the idea of doing the mitzvos. But at the same time, the Emunah, Kabbalah's Omachut Shamayim. The Rambam says, a machlokas rishonim of what is Doraisa of Kriyat Shema. Rashi and Brachos seems to say maybe it's the first parsha. Tosos and Brachos seems to say it might be the first two. The Rambam says all three. Asks everyone, what do you mean? Why is the mitzvah of tzitzis have to do with Kriyat Shema? What we're saying now, it's perfect. Because the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema is Emunah, and tzitzis is Emunah, and doing the mitzvos. That's what it's all about. Very interesting discussion. The Shulchan Aruch says that we know that we put on tzitzis before tefillin. We ever ask ourselves why we're doing that? Tefillin, you have to. The Gemara Brachos says you have to put on tefillin every day. Tzitzis is, obviously it's a mitzvah, but you don't have to do it, only if you have a four-cordon garment. Why are we doing that? What's it all about? So the pshat is that when we take upon ourselves that we're going to be avodim tashem, but avodim betoch simcha, as the Gemara tells us in Menachos, that the whole idea of tzitzis is the 613 mitzvos, gematria tzitzis, gematria 600, the five knots and the eight strings, 613, because that's what it's all about. Tosus brings down in Shabbos, on Daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis, that just like an Eved wears a badge to show that he's an Eved. When a person wears a tzitzis, again, we spoke about this before, we're not an Eved because we're slaves, we're an Eved because we want to serve Hashem. We want to build that relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They tell the famous story. Sfasemis got up, and he said, everyone, you should have kavana in Ana Hashem. You should have kavana in Ana Hashem. So in the Beis Medrash, there was a fight. Was it talking about Ana Hashem Aslichana, Ana Hashem Hoshiana? And they got into a whole big fight in Hallel of Sukkis. And some Hasidim said, he meant this. He meant Ana Hashem Aslichana, give us success. Ana Hashem Hoshiana, save us. They asked the Sfasemis afterwards, what did you mean? And he said, no, I meant Ana Hashem ki ani avdecha. That we want to have that relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And tzitzis is the idea, re'isem oso. That just like the Meraglim, they came in with a negative look. They didn't feel they could accomplish. They didn't feel they could do it. But they went in with negative. We look at the tzitzis in a deeper way, ure'isem oso. As the Gemara tells us in Menachos, the Gemara says in Mem Gimel, Rashi brings it down in this week's Parsha, that you look at the Techeles and you see blue, and then it goes from there to there, and then finally you get to the glory of God. On a superficial level, it's blue, it's blue! But then you look deeper, what does it represent? Kabbalas ol machut shamayim. It represents bringing the divine name into our lives. And that is the fix-up. The fix-up of what the Meraglim sin is that they didn't believe in themselves. They didn't bring in the Selam Elokim. However, we need to face challenges, realizing everyone has challenges, but we're gonna persevere. We're going to make it through. And we could bring Kedusha into everything we do, the Nesachim, the Challah, the Tzitzis. We could bring Kedusha in. Why the Yud by Yehoshua? Because Yud, again, Hey is global, Avraham, Hamon Hagoyim. But Yehoshua was in with people that were not good for him. He needed the Yud. He needed the individuality to show you can do it, Yehoshua. So that little Yud, that little Yud came down from Sarah and came to Yehoshua. Because everyone has to view themselves as an individual. Obviously, you have to put yourself in a good environment, but an individual that you could conquer and you could accomplish. And just like we spoke about that Rimon, the Te'ena, and the Geffen, the idea, last year we spoke about the Rimon, the mitzvos, as I said, and the Taina, the consistency, and the Geffen is the Chashivos. That's what Tzitzis represents. Because Tzitzis, obviously, the Gemara Menachos, that Tzitzis is the 613 mitzvos. Also by Tzitzis is the consistency, the loyalty, being loyal to someone. Lo sasur achrei levavchem, don't look at anything else. The loyalty to Hashem, and then the Geffen, lemantisku, realize the Chashivos. Realize the mindfulness, focus on the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let us realize what we can accomplish in this world. Let us realize how we can fix up for the sin of the Meraglim. We're still suffering, we don't have the Beis HaMikdash. But the way we're going to fix it up is we're going to bring Kedusha into our lives wherever we can. Just let it in. Show that there's a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In everything we do, we could take something mundane, challah, you could take bread and make it Kadosh. And that's our goal. Our goal is to believe in ourselves. Our goal is to realize how great Eretz Yisrael is. The marriage of Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. The chosen land. And to realize, to put Selam Elokim into everything we do. Realizing that Hashem is part of our lives. Bezat Hashem, we should all have an amazing Shabbos. Take out from this Parsha. It's a jam-packed Parsha. So much to do. But take out that we could accomplish so much. And we could bring Kedusha into everything we want in our lives. Everyone have an amazing Shabbos.